Hello, everyone, and welcome back to Megan's Old Office. My name is J.D. Gorlett. I'm the senior pastor here at Dundee Presbyterian Church in lovely Omaha, Nebraska. As usual, I am joined by my good friend Keith Holmes, who is the director of Children's and Family Ministry here at Dundee. Say hello to the folks, Keith.
Hello to the folks, Keith.
Very nice. You can see what a talent we're dealing with here.
The old-time comedy.
There you go.
Never gets really old.
It gets plenty old.
Oh, do we? Okay. Yeah. So are you feeling any better this week? I know last week you were January. He's still moping around the halls, folks.
A friend of mine called January a month filled with Mondays.
Oh.
I think that's a perfect description of January. That's how we feel. But not at Megan's Old Office. For this half an hour, we spread the joy as we talk about Scripture. And last week, we talked about the prodigal son. We're working through parables here for the next several weeks. And we started with the prodigal son, knowing full well we could not do it in one episode. We can't even do it in two episodes. We're going to try to do our best. Last week, the focus on the prodigal son was with the prodigal son, the younger brother. As you recall, Jesus tells this story from Luke chapter 15 about a father who has two sons. One is the younger, who is the prodigal, who is wasteful. But there is a second part. There is a second son. We didn't talk about the second son, the older brother. He is obedient to the father. He does not walk away. He is not wasteful, at least in the same way as the younger brother. But in a minute here, Keith is going to read the second part. And I'm setting the stage. We're going to skip over the first half of the story, just to paraphrase. The younger brother demands from the father his portion of the estate, goes off into the far country and wastes it all in wild living, and then comes back and is received, even to his own surprise, with great celebration and joy by the father and by the father's servants, who are the angels. They're just celebrating. The father is a representation of God the Father. That's what Jesus wants us to see. The prodigal son and his older brother, they are examples of who we tend to be toward God and toward each other. And so today we're going to focus on the older brother, and we're going to talk about how we're like the older brother. So, Keith,
and
take
away. And I do like that last week you pointed out that we're both the younger and the older. We're a mix. Humanity is really wrapped up in both of them. So don't feel like, oh, I'm just one or the other, because we're all a little of both.
Right.
All right. So before we get started, we know who the characters are and representing now, but I want you to look as I read. I want you to be thinking about the older son, and I want to ask, what upsets the older son?
Right. Specifically.
Yeah. What are we looking at when we see this?
He's not a happy guy.
Yes, much like J.D. in January, right? Now, here we go. All right. Luke 15, verses 25 to 32. Now, his elder son was in the field, and when he came and approached the house, he heard music and dancing. He called one of the slaves and asked, "What was going on?" He replied, "Your brother has come home, and your father has killed the fatted calf, because he has gotten him back safe and sound." Then he became angry and refused to go in. His father came out and began to plead with him, but he answered his father, "Listen, for all these years I've been working like a slave for you, and I have never disobeyed your command. Yet you have never given me even a young goat so that I might celebrate with my friends. But when the son of yours came back, he who has devoured your property with prostitutes, you killed the fatted calf for him." Then the father said to him, "Son, you are always with me, and all that is mine is yours. But we had to celebrate and rejoice because this brother of yours was dead and has come to life. He was lost and has been found." Amen.
Amen. So how is what's he upset about?
What is he upset about? The celebration. I think he is upset that as I'm talking, I'm thinking, which is weird, but jealousy. He's jealous. He's upset that
of the
younger brother who is squandered, and now he's getting a party. So he's upset at this celebration, this party, the father, and the attitude of the father. So I think it really kind of comes back to, in the end, the attitude of the father. He's mad at his dad.
Well, and it's interesting that you say. I think you're right. I'm sorry to interrupt.
No,
I do. I tend to
you're
do
fine.
That. That's what the first day of senior pastor school they teach
is
you to
that
interrupt
what it is?
People. Yeah. Under the assumption that you have something very profound to say, so I better not miss my opportunity. you know, it's interesting to me that the older brother is upset. These few verses here are all about an older brother, a man who is upset. He's upset with his father. He's upset about the celebration. You're completely right. I will go so far as to say that the older brother is upset about grace.
Yeah.
Grace is the thing that we should, as Christians, celebrate as much, if not more, than anything else. And yet, Jesus is taking time and being very clear that grace, as great as it is and worthy of celebration, is also very upsetting.
Yeah.
Because grace is not fair.
It's not fair at all.
And if we ask the question again, what is the older brother upset about? He's upset about grace coming from the Father, and specifically he's upset about how unfair God's grace is. And it is. God doesn't make any apologies for that, right?
Right.
I often say to people, Keith, and I've said it here on Megan's Old Office, if you want everything to be fair all the time, if that's your number one priority, just don't do Christianity. Because, I mean, Christianity, at the center of it, is grace. And grace is not fair.
No.
If you have to have everything be fair,
Christianity
is not your thing.
No,
man.
No.
You know?
Well, I mean, if God were fair, he wouldn't bother to come and save us from our own sins, because that's not fair that he had to die for our sins.
Right.
I mean, you look at this, it's a two-way street. You know, he didn't have to do what he did for us.
Right, right at the center of the entire religion is the greatest unfairness of all time. The
exactly.
death of Jesus Christ. And one of the things that's interesting in the previous reading from last week, the celebration, the father goes, did you notice the father, and I know I'm going back, I'm sorry, I wasn't supposed to do this, but he goes back, the father goes to the slaves who are the angels.
Right.
And he says, go and kill the fatted calf and get him a robe. And there's a moment in there where he says, the good one. Don't just get don't get some robe that, you know, is the worst one in my closet. Don't get the lousiest calf. Get the fatted calf and get the good one.
Yep.
This is grace, not just grace, not just kindness, not just a party or a celebration that, you know, is just perfunctory, is just, you know, well, we got to do that. It is a celebration that's off the charts. This is God. He's a party animal.
Yes,
he's crazy, crazy excited for the younger son to come back. But the older brother is mad because of that.
And not only mad, he refuses to go in and be a part of the grace and celebrate the grace, right? Yeah, exactly. He's folding his arms and pouting, folks. This was a very visual moment.
Pout.
He's doing his pout.
Right.
But I mean, the fact that, you know, the angels celebrate and humans, who are made just a little lower than the angels,
right,
refuse to celebrate. Right. We are putting ourselves into that space. As the older son, as the older brother, you are now stepping out of your role as a Christian, as a child of God. You're saying, I'm better than God because I know what's fair.
Well, you're getting to what I wanted to ask, so I'm going to ask it so you can kind of go a little bit further. I mean, all right, so we've established the fact that the older son is lost. Last week, and obviously the thing that jumps off the page first is that the prodigal is lost. He goes off to the far country, gets lost, and he comes back. That's obvious. But in a more subtle but no less real way, the older brother is lost too. You're saying that.
Right.
But what causes him to be lost? How is he lost? Why is he lost? You're starting to talk about that.
And so as we look at the older brother, we say, okay, well, he's not lost. He's been with the father this whole time. He's spent his time. But he gets so caught up in the unfairness of the treatment of the younger brother because he thinks he deserves more because of his
His loyalty and obedience.
Loyalty,
good.
Yeah. Right. And so here he is, this loyal, obedient son, servant, he even says, I've worked like a slave for you, and yet here you are, you never gave me a goat. You know, it's like, I always come back to, well, you never asked.
Right.
Right. The younger son's asking. He's finally gotten to a point where he's like, I gotta, I have to go ask for forgiveness. And he didn't even really want forgiveness. He just wanted to be a servant. I mean, lowly slave, you know, and work for the Father and do the most menial things. He wanted to be the bottom rung, below the bottom rung. And here's this older son who's had everything.
The whole time. He's surrounded by it at every moment and never sees it. If you can't see yourself in that, then, man, I don't know what to do. He's surrounded. It's this moment where God the Father in the story says, you're always with me.
Right.
And, by the way, Keith, everything that I have has always been yours.
Right.
The good news. Here's the good news. Everything I have is yours. Just enjoy. Enjoy. Yep. Receive. So, enjoy. Celebrate it. You didn't get a calf because, like you said, you never asked.
You never asked for one.
You never asked for a goat. You never asked for a blessing. You acted as if you were nothing more than a slave, and you the whole time you were my son. You were above what you assumed you were.
Exactly.
You're better
right.
than what you always assumed that you were.
And that's
and
ultimately
how many of us are guilty of that.
And that's ultimately what we are as children of God. Is our acceptance now puts us above the angels as a family member of the Father.
Right.
And so, why are we not enjoying the fruits of that? Why are we not? I mean, take a moment. If you're listening to this on a podcast, I can tell you right now. Take a moment and look around, listener, at everything around you and realize these are all blessings from God.
Right.
You are not in any way, shape, or form destitute or a slave when you look and you see what God has given you. Yeah, you could be at your job, you could be in your car, but you're in a car. You have a car. You have a job.
Right.
You could be at your home. You have a home.
And that's one of the ways that he's lost. But another way that the older son is lost, and you kind of started with it, is that he sets himself up in a position that he should not occupy. He sets himself up, the older son, I mean, sets himself up in a position of judging how the father should behave.
Right.
What the father should do with what belongs to the father,
right.
and how the father should treat the younger son. He sets himself up and makes himself miserable, makes himself upset. He's out there pouting,
right.
doing the pout face,
right?
Right. He's refusing to go in, never realizing that he is that way because he is assuming a position that he has no right to occupy, no ability to occupy. It's not his place to judge what the father gives and doesn't give. It's not his place to judge how the father treats the prodigal son. The older son is hopelessly lost in a position that he has created for himself that he should never occupy. And it's a position of judging others and judging how God relates to others.
Right.
And if there's one thing that's going on in our society that is enormously destructive, it is that. It is me looking at people with whom I disagree, saying, you know, playing judge
right.
over them, playing judge over how God should relate to them.
And saying, I represent God.
And I'm saying, right, I'm of this political ideology or religious ideology or whatever ideology, and sure, God does agree with me. That's for sure.
Right.
God agrees with everything that I ever say. And it brings me to one of my favorite sayings, and that is, you can be assured that you have created God in your own image when the God that you worship hates all the same people that you do.
Right.
And this is the older brother. He just assumed, he's like, I hate my younger brother because he's a jerk, because he's wasteful, because he's not like me, and I'm angry at Dad, who is God, because he's not of the same mentality as I am. Isn't that going on in our world today?
Oh, good heavens, yes.
You know.
Well, all right, so this leads me to another question then, since we're talking about the older son. Under what conditions would this older son allow the younger son to return? He set himself up as the judge and the jury now. So what conditions do we think, and I think you pegged it, you know, he needs to think like me.
Right.
The younger son needs to be like me. And the worst thing, and I think this is also part of what I see in today's world too, and I feel as well sometimes, and that is not only are is the son supposed to be equal to me, but to be equal, he now has to be lower than me for a time. Like
maybe
forever. I've spent all this time at home as a slave to my father, and now you who've gone out and waste need to, now you need to pay your penance to me. You need to pay your penitence.
Yeah.
You need to make me see how sorry you are.
You have to meet my standard.
Right. Never thinking we've just seen God's standard.
Right.
Return to me. Love, just realize you need to be one of my children. And that's all we ever need to be.
Complete unconditional grace.
Exactly. And here the son has set himself up and says, so I think that's where I come to land when it's, well, what would the older son want? He would want abject servitude and maybe forever.
It is a fantastic question that you ask. And to repeat it, it is, under what conditions would the older son allow the younger son to return? And we've already establish the fact that the older son is setting himself up as judge of the younger son. We do the same thing, particularly with people with whom we disagree, whether it is politically or any other way. Right. We set ourselves up as judge, even though, and without noticing that we have no right to do that at all.
Right.
We have no permission to do that, no even ability to do that. We do it, but we don't have the right to do it. Under what conditions would the older son allow the younger son to return? Under what conditions will the older son allow himself to be in good relationship with the younger son? My first answer is that nothing. There would be nothing. It would never happen. Although the older son might, like he was hazing a pledge to get into a fraternity, he might say, oh, well, Keith, you know, if you jump through this hoop, that hoop, and the other, then we'll accept you into the fraternity. He might tell you that, but I don't think in any genuine way the older son is ever, if left to himself, I don't think the older son is ever going to allow the younger son to come back and be in right standing and be in the father's house. Right. And again, here we are doing the exact same thing. The father is creating a house of complete grace, mercy, kindness, and love, and the older brother has no interest in being that himself. And the younger brother benefits from it and is like, okay, I'll just go with this. I didn't expect this. Holy cow, there's a party. The music's great. Fatted calf. Nice jacket. We talked about that last week.
Right.
So both of them are having this horribly difficult time with the abundant grace, the amazing grace of God.
Of the Father.
Because grace is this great, amazing thing does not mean that it is easy. This story proclaims that as much as anything else.
Well, sure. You know? It's not easy for those of us who are in the family of Christ, who has watched. You know, one of the things I heard back in the day was that Jeffrey Dahmer accepted Christ in prison before he was killed.
Yeah, he was baptized in the prison swimming pool.
And to think that man is going to be in heaven when we get there, boy,
that blows the mind.
That is unconditional.
That
grace
really illustrates the expanse of grace and of God's mercy and in grace that we do not want to give. So your question is, I love your question, under what conditions would the older son allow the younger son to return? I don't think the older son has any interest ever, even if he was set up as judge and given the opportunity. Okay, we'll let the younger son come back once you say that it's okay.
Yeah.
I think he would make the younger son jump through an eternity of hoops.
Oh, absolutely.
Without any real true acceptance.
Right, and that's exactly it. He would not accept... He would not accept the younger brother ever. He would say, yeah, you can come back. You can come in to the family estate, but you're never going to be a son again. You're going to be a plebe. You're going to be a servant. You're going to be a slave. Of me. You're going to do what I tell you to do from now on. And never actually, you know, I look at it and I think of, you know, putting ourselves in the story, and that's where I think I myself am sometimes, is you have to be like me first, then you can be like
you
God.
You have to meet my standard.
Right.
And I'm not even going to tell you what that standard is. I'm going to make you guess at that standard. I'm going to write it on the wall so that you can measure when you meet it.
Right.
That would be bad enough. There's no grace in that at all. But even worse, I'm not even going to write it down for you. I'm going to keep moving around.
Because it's going to change. It's a moving target.
I'm going to move the goalpost for you.
Right.
But in addition to that, it's the older son... It's the older son being that way, behaving in that way, and why? Because grace is painful. the idea of really forgiving someone and being gracious to somebody with whom we've disagreed, the idea of really forgiving and being gracious to someone who has hurt us, mm-hmm. disappointed us, it's scary to the older son. If you crack the older son open, that's what you'd find. You'd find this little person who's scared to be this great. He's scared to be this gracious. He's scared to be this forgiving.
Right.
He's this little person who wants to be a big person by being judgmental of others. He doesn't want to be a big person by being gracious.
Right.
Because that's too frightening to him. That's too overwhelming to him. I'm just not even going to play that game.
So both sons feel like they can do it better than the father in their own way. The one leaves to go succeed and exactly. be his own man. And the other stayed home because he wanted to be in control and he was scared. And now that he has the opportunity, the father's taking of being the big man, of being the one in charge, the father takes it away from him
by giving grace. Yeah. So on that, Keith, what do you think each of them needs to learn?
Oh man, well, acceptance
of the other
yeah. and of the father's grace, right? Because here we have the son who's the prodigal returns and says, "Whoa, what's happening? I don't deserve this." How often do I hear that from people outside the faith that say, "Oh, if I ever walked into a church, it would burn down or I would explode in flames. I don't deserve grace." You know, they're like, because I'm too sinful. I could never go into the house of God because mm-hmm. it's too holy. Well, no, of course God wants you here. This parable is the perfect representation of someone that wants you to come in,
right.
and they're not going to set you on fire. They're going to give you the good robe,
right?
And then the other
or they
one,
should.
Right.
Some churches won't. Some, right. You know, it's the old hospital for sinners or a museum of saints. Don't
right.
go to a church that wants to be nothing more than a museum
right.
of saints.
It, right.
Go to a place that's going to be a hospital for sinners.
Absolutely,
because they will give you that. They will understand grace. They will give you that robe. They will celebrate that you are there.
Right.
Where you are. Hopefully, they won't leave you where you are and tell you, "Oh yeah, no, it's okay. You don't have to do anything.
Yeah, you don't have to change.
You don't have to change. You don't
right.
have to grow. You don't have to do anything." Because both, one of the other things that's implicit in this story is that both the prodigal younger brother and the older brother, who's also a prodigal in his own way, they both have something to learn.
Yep.
They have both something to grow. And Jesus is a master because he leaves that untold, doesn't he? We're left to wonder what happens after the vignette is over,
right?
What happens to the prodigal?
Right.
What do they learn?
And the older brother, what do you think he needs to learn now that his little brother's back?
You know, the cynic inside of me says that neither of them learn anything. You know, the younger brother has the party and he just goes on and says, "Oh, well, you know, this just proves that I can get away with anything. I can do whatever I want and, God, you know, dad's just going to celebrate me because I'm brilliant."
Right.
And the cynic inside of me tells me that the older brother is so closed off and he's so judgmental that, you know, I don't know, maybe he says the right thing to the father, maybe he doesn't, but he just goes, that's his religion, and he's just not going to let go of it. I'm better than everybody else.
Right.
And he's going to go on hating the younger brother. But Jesus does not tell us what happens in the next few years. But the hope is that Christianity, relationship with God, is so powerful that the prodigal son, the younger brother, learns hopefully some humility, some gratitude for who the father is, and the older brother learns some humility and the ability to be gracious and genuinely kind to people who, you know, are different than he is,
yeah.
you know.
Oh, yeah. Absolutely.
It is possible. We'd like to think that it's possible.
So they both need to be more like the father.
Right. But what does that mean?
But what does it mean to be like the father? Because it's scary. We've talked about that. It's awe-inspiring. I mean, a son who returns to the father in the shape that this kid did, the way he left and returned.
After what he did.
I mean, and obviously somebody knew. Somehow word got back to the family because the older brother, without going in, yells at his dad, "You are giving this party to..." He hasn't seen his brother. He says, "What is this going on in here?"
Right.
So he knows that his brother has been spending time with prostitutes and... So somehow word has gotten back to the family
right.
that this has been going on in this far off country.
Right.
And so, you know, he he's sitting there and he's saying, how can you do this? And yet somehow he has to learn grace. He has to learn grace, and the prodigal needs to learn that grace-filled repentance means that you're going to change.
And live a different life.
And live the different life.
More thankful, more appreciative life. Ultimately, the question, though, and you alluded to it just now, what does it mean for us to be more like the Father?
Mm-hmm.
The story is, the protagonists of the story are really the younger brother and the two brothers, the younger brother and the older brother. But really, here's this Father throughout the story.
Yep.
And the story is really about him. And there's been much written about the prodigal son. There's been a great deal of art dedicated to this story, interpreting this story. And hopefully all of us are left with this question of, okay, I want to be where we say, yeah, I can see how I'm like the younger son. I can see how wasteful I am. I can see how I run away from God the Father, because that's what he does. I can see how I'm like the older brother. And believe me, in my own case, man, I have no trouble identifying with the older brother.
Amen.
Setting myself up as better than others, judgmental of others, staying outside the party and refusing to go in,
yep.
Being afraid to be gracious. We talked about that. But hopefully as we read this story, as we listen to Jesus' words, we're saying to ourselves, hey, man, dig the Father, to be really slang. Dig how he is. How can I be like Dad? And what does that mean? Well, it means grace. It means to be forgiving. It means to set aside your immediate impulses of anger,
yep.
and of judgment, even though you have the right to condemn. Even though you have the right to reject, to not do that, to choose not to do that. And then not only that, but to go overboard in the other direction, to celebrate the beauty of the people in your life, even as broken as they are, as rebellious as they are. Man, that takes some doing, because we feel as if we're accomplishing more by being angry, don't we?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah, because it's a righteous anger. Look at what those people have done against God.
There's something about being angry, though, with other people. There's something about being angry and judgmental of other people that makes us feel so good.
Ah, sure.
You see what I'm saying?
Oh, yeah.
Otherwise, we wouldn't do it, you know?
Well, I think it gives us that sense of superiority. If I'm angry at you, it's because I have the moral high ground. I believe I do.
Yeah.
Or you've wronged me. Being angry is a very selfish attitude.
So
it's very much a, you hurt me, 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 me.
Right.
Yeah.
So to be more like the Father is to set all that aside and say, that's garbage.
Oh.
That whole feeling of superiority, that inclination towards judging others, that immediate power that I can exert by yelling, judging, rejecting, that's garbage. What's pure and what's good and what's of value is to welcome, to forgive. And how is it to be like the Father? If that's our question, what does it mean to be like the Father? I can't help noticing that he brings the two together. He has the party, but he goes out and gets the son. And even though it goes and gets the older son and says, hey, this brother of yours, great language, because the older brother says, this son of yours.
Yeah.
And then, but the father comes back and says, no, it's this brother of yours.
Right.
Jesus doesn't tell the rest of the story, but I'd like to think there's a scene in there somewhere where with his arm around the older brother, the father comes into the party and brings the two of them together.
Yeah.
And leads the horse to water, and hopefully the horse drinks.
Drink. I can only hope and pray that, you know, today that we hear that and we can do that.
How can we do that? You know, we can do that every day. There's opportunities within our families, at our work, all the time.
And I think
be the Father.
You put your hand on it, your finger on it. When you said it, the image is of the Father bringing the kids together. Because we can't do this by ourselves.
Absolutely.
We need the Father in our lives, in our relationships with others, to be able to reconcile. Because left to our own devices, I'm not going to change a thing about me. I know that Dad's going to give me money again, and I'm A-okay with that. Or I'm not going to change my attitude. That little jerk isn't going to get away with anything.
Right. And I'm going to set myself up as judge.
Jury and executioner.
And not just for a day, but for the rest of eternity. Well, that's how we can be, and this story is a cautionary tale. It is an opportunity to stop us in our tracks and get us to think and consider how we're going to be with ourselves, within ourselves, and toward others.
And a great one of showing us what God is like.
Exactly. And it's shocking, isn't it? The grace is shocking and scary. Yep. Can't get over that. Well, this has been Megan's Old Office. It's been fun talking about the prodigal son. Next week, we're going to move on to some more parables to discuss and share with you. Make plans to join us here every Friday. A new episode drops on all your favorite sites. It's been great to be with you. We'll see you next time.
Thank you so much for joining us this week on Megan's Old Office, brought to you by Dundee Presbyterian Church. Please like, subscribe, and share so you and your friends can keep up with us every time we post. You can learn more about us and our church at dpcomaha.org. Find us on Facebook at facebook.com/dpcomaha. Or on Instagram at Megan's Old Office. You can contact us through email at megansoldoffice@gmail.com. Thank you so much for listening today. We truly appreciate it. We'll talk to you soon. Bye-bye.